Science and the Environment. Section 1. Understanding Our Environment. When someone mentions the term environment, some people think of a beautiful scene, such as a stream flowing through a wilderness area, or a rainforest canopy alive with blooming flowers and howling monkeys. You might not think of your backyard or neighborhood as part of the environment. In fact, the environment is everything around us. It includes the natural world, as well as things produced by humans. But the environment is also more than what you can see. It is a complex web of relationships that connects us with the world we live in. What is environmental science? The students from Keene High School in Figure 1 are searching the Ashuelot River in New Hampshire for dwarf wedge mussels. The mussels, which were once abundant in the river, are now in danger of disappearing completely, and the students want to know why. To find out more, the students test water samples from different parts of the river and conduct experiments. Could the problem be that sewage is contaminating the water? Or could fertilizer from a nearby lawn be causing algae in the river to grow rapidly and use up the oxygen that the mussels need to survive? Another possible explanation might be that a small dam on the river is disrupting the mussels' reproduction. The students' efforts have been highly praised and widely recognized. Yet they hope for a more meaningful reward, the preservation of an endangered species. The students' work is just one example of a relatively new field, environmental science, the study of the impact of humans on the environment. The goals of environmental science. One of the major goals of environmental science is to understand and solve environmental problems. To accomplish this goal, environmental scientists study two main types of interactions between humans and the environment. One area of study focuses on how we use natural resources, such as water and plants. The other area of study focuses on how our actions alter our environment. To study these interactions, environmental scientists must gather and analyze information from many different disciplines. Many fields of study. Environmental science is an interdisciplinary science, which means that it involves many fields of study. One important foundation of environmental science is ecology. Ecology is the study of how living things interact with each other and with their non-living environment. For example, an ecologist might study the relationship between bees and the plants that bees pollinate. However, an environmental scientist might investigate how the nesting behavior of bees is influenced by human activities, such as suburban landscaping. Many other sciences contribute to environmental science. For example, chemistry helps us understand the nature of pollutants. Geology helps us model how pollutants travel underground. Botany and zoology provide information to preserve species. Paleontology, the study of fossils, can help us understand how Earth's climate has changed in the past. Using such information about the past can help us predict how future climate changes could affect life on Earth. Figure 2 shows a few examples of disciplines that contribute to environmental science. But studying the environment also involves studying human populations. So, environmental scientists may use information from the social sciences, which include economics, law, politics, and geography. Social sciences can help us answer questions such as, how do cultural attitudes affect how people use the U.S. national park system? Or, how does human migration from rural to urban areas affect the local environment? Table 1 lists some of the major fields of study that contribute to the study of environmental science. Scientists as citizens. Citizens as scientists. Governments, businesses, and cities recognize that studying our environment is vital to maintaining a healthy and productive society. Thus, environmental scientists are often asked to share their research with the world. Figure 3 shows scientists at a press conference that was held after a meeting on climate change. Often, the observations of non-scientists are the first step toward addressing an environmental problem. For example, middle school students first noticed the appearance of deformed frogs in Minnesota lakes. Similarly, the students at Dublin Scioto High School in Ohio, shown in Figure 3, study the habitat of endangered box turtles every year. A habitat is a place where an organism usually lives. The students want to find out how the turtles live and what factors affect their nesting and hibernation sites in their habitat. The students track and map the turtles' movements, measure atmospheric conditions, and analyze soil samples. These efforts matter because the box turtle habitat is threatened. At the end of every year, the students present their findings to city planners, hoping to protect the most sensitive turtle habitats. Our environment through time. Wherever humans have hunted, grown food, or settled, they have changed the environment. For example, the land where New York City now stands was once an area where Native Americans hunted game and gathered food, as shown in Figure 4. The environmental change that has occurred on Manhattan Island over the last 300 years is immense. Yet this period of time is just a blink in human history. Hunter-gatherers. For most of human history, people were hunter-gatherers, or people who obtained food by collecting plants and by hunting wild animals or scavenging their remains. Early hunter-gatherer groups were small, and they migrated from place to place as different types of food became available at different times of the year. Even today, there are hunter-gatherer societies in the Amazon rainforests of South America and in New Guinea, as shown in Figure 5. Hunter-gatherers affected their environment in many ways. For example, some Native American tribes hunted bison, which live in grasslands. The tribes set fires to burn the prairies and prevent the growth of trees. In this way, the tribes kept the prairies as open grassland where they could hunt bison. In North America, a combination of rapid climate changes and overhunting by hunter-gatherers may have led to the disappearance of some species of large mammals. These species include giant sloths, giant bison, mastodons, cave bears, and saber-toothed cats. Huge piles of bones have been found in places where hunter-gatherers drove thousands of animals into pits and killed them. The Agricultural Revolution. Eventually, many hunter-gatherer groups began to collect the seeds of the plants they gathered and to domesticate some of the animals in their environment. Agriculture is the practice of growing, breeding, and caring for plants and animals that are used for food, clothing, housing, transportation, and other purposes. The practice of agriculture started in many different parts of the world over 10,000 years ago. This change had such a dramatic impact on human societies and their environment that it is often called the Agricultural Revolution. The Agricultural Revolution allowed human populations to grow at an unprecedented rate. An area of land can support up to 500 times as many people by farming as it can by hunting and gathering. As populations grew, they began to concentrate in smaller areas. These changes placed increased pressure on local environments. The Agricultural Revolution also changed the food we eat. The plants we grow and eat today are descended from wild plants. During harvest season, farmers collected seeds from plants that exhibited the qualities they desired. The seeds of plants with large kernels or sweet and nutritious flesh were planted and harvested again. Over the course of many generations, the domesticated plants became very different from their wild ancestors. For example, the grass shown in Figure 6 may be related to the grass that corn was bred from. As grasslands, forests, and wetlands were replaced with farmland, habitats were destroyed. Slash-and-burn agriculture, shown in Figure 7, is one of the earliest ways that land was converted to farmland. Replacing forest with farmland on a large scale can cause soil loss, floods, and water shortages. In addition, much of this converted land was farmed poorly and is no longer fertile. The destruction of farmland had far-reaching environmental effects. For example, the early civilizations of the Tigris-Euphrates river basin collapsed, in part, because the overworked soil became infertile through salt contamination. The Industrial Revolution. For almost 10,000 years, the tools of human societies were powered mainly by humans or animals. This pattern changed in the middle of the 1700s with the Industrial Revolution, which involved a shift from energy sources such as animal muscle and running water to fossil fuels such as coal and oil. The increased use of fossil fuels and machines, such as the steam engine shown in Figure 8, changed society and greatly increased the efficiency of agriculture, industry, and transportation. During the Industrial Revolution, the large-scale production of goods in factories became less expensive than the local production of goods. Machinery reduced the amount of land and human labor needed for farming. As fewer people grew their own food, populations in urban areas steadily grew. Fossil fuels and motorized vehicles allowed food and other goods to be transported cheaply across great distances. Improving quality of life. The Industrial Revolution introduced many positive changes. Inventions such as the light bulb greatly improved our quality of life. Agricultural productivity increased, and sanitation, nutrition, and medical care vastly improved. Technologies such as the telephone and the portable computer, shown in Figure 9, enabled people to work and communicate more easily from any location. Yet, with all of these advances, the Industrial Revolution introduced many new environmental problems. In the 1900s, modern societies began to use artificial substances in place of raw animal and plant products. Plastics and many other artificial materials have made life easier. However, we now understand some of the environmental problems they present. Much of environmental science is concerned with the problems associated with the Industrial Revolution. Spaceship Earth. Earth has been compared to a ship traveling through space, unable to dispose of waste or take on new supplies as it travels. Earth is essentially a closed system. The only thing that enters Earth's atmosphere in large amounts is energy from the sun, and the only thing that leaves in large amounts is heat. A closed system of this sort has potential problems. Some resources are limited, and as the population grows, the resources will be used. In a closed system, there is also the chance that we will produce wastes more quickly than we can dispose of them. Although the Earth can be thought of as a complete system, environmental problems can occur on different scales, local, regional, or global. For example, your community may be discussing where to build a new landfill, or local property owners may be arguing with environmentalists about the importance of a rare bird or insect. The drinking water in your region may be affected by a polluted river hundreds of miles away. Other environmental problems are global. For example, ozone-depleting chemicals released in Brazil may destroy the ozone layer that everyone on Earth depends on. Population growth, a local pressure. One reason many environmental problems are so pressing today is that the agricultural revolution and the industrial revolution allowed the human population to grow much faster than it had ever grown before. The development of modern medicine and sanitation also helped increase the human population. As shown in Figure 11, the human population almost quadrupled during the 20th century. Producing enough food for such a large population has environmental consequences. In the past 50 years, nations have used vast amounts of resources to meet their need for food. Many of the environmental problems that affect us today, such as habitat destruction and pesticide pollution, are the result of feeding the world in the 20th century. There are many different predictions of population growth for the future, but most scientists think that the human population will almost double in the 21st century before it begins to stabilize. We can expect that the pressure on the environment will continue to increase as the human population and its need for food and resources grows. What are our main environmental problems? You may feel as though the world has an unlimited variety of environmental problems. but we can generally group environmental problems into three categories: resource depletion, pollution, or loss of biodiversity. Resource depletion. Any natural material that is used by humans is called a natural resource. Natural resources can be classified as renewable and non-renewable, as shown in Table 2. A renewable resource is a resource that can be replaced relatively quickly by natural processes. Fresh water, air, soil, trees, and crops are all resources that can be renewed. Energy from the sun is also a renewable resource. A non-renewable resource is a resource that forms at a much slower rate than the rate that it is consumed. The most common non-renewable resources are minerals and fossil fuels. Once the supply of a non-renewable resource is used up, it may take millions of years to replenish it. Resources are said to be depleted when a large fraction of the resource has been used up. Figure 12 shows a mine where copper, a non-renewable resource, is removed from the Earth's crust. Some renewable resources can also be depleted. For example, if trees are harvested faster than they can grow naturally in an area, deforestation will result. Pollution. One effect of the Industrial Revolution is that societies began to produce wastes faster than the wastes could be disposed of. These wastes accumulate in the environment and cause pollution. Pollution is an undesired change in air, water, or soil that adversely affects the health, survival, or activities of humans or other organisms. Human activities produce a great deal of pollution. Air pollution in Mexico City, as shown in Figure 13, is dangerously high, mostly because of car exhaust and industrial pollutants. There are two main types of pollutants. Biodegradable pollutants are pollutants that can be broken down by natural processes. They include materials such as human sewage and food wastes. Degradable pollutants are a problem when they accumulate faster than they can be broken down. Pollutants that cannot be broken down by natural processes, such as mercury, lead, and some types of plastic, are called non-degradable pollutants. Because non-degradable pollutants do not break down easily, they can build up to dangerous levels in the environment. Loss of biodiversity. The term biodiversity refers to the number and variety of species that live in an area. Earth has been home to hundreds of millions of species. Yet only a fraction of those species are alive today. The others are extinct. Extinction is a natural process, and several large-scale extinctions, or mass extinctions, have occurred throughout Earth's history. For example, at the end of the Permian period, 250 million years ago, as much as 95% of all species became extinct. So why should we be concerned about the modern extinction of an individual species such as the Tasmanian tiger, shown in Figure 14? The organisms that share the world with us can be considered natural resources. We depend on other organisms for food, for the oxygen we breathe, and for many other things. A species that is extinct is gone forever. So a species can be considered a non-renewable resource. We have only limited information about how modern extinction rates compare with those of other periods in Earth's history. But many scientists think that if current rates of extinction continue, it may cause problems for human populations in the future. Many people also argue that all species have potential economic, ecological, scientific, aesthetic, and recreational value, so it is important to preserve them. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.